The signal you are receiving is coming from deep inside of FEMA Region 1, well within the battle lines of the municipal corporation known as the Commonwealth of Taxachusetts. Radiating out to the darkest corners of Al Gore's internet from our secret broadcast bunker, cleverly disguised as a middle-class living room, this is Red Pill Politics. And welcome back, Red Pill Politics. Welcome, 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 everybody. Please take a moment here as we get into our second hour and point your browser over to republicbroadcasting.org. You're going to find programming there 7 days a week to feed your brain. You're going to find an archive full of all the shows for all the hosts and ways to get in touch with people. And you're also going to find a donation button, which I want to draw your attention to because we are listener-funded. You're listening to the show right now because of people like you who make donations of all sizes, large and small. $5 a month if you can do it, great. $100 a month if you can do it, great. It's going to be put to good use. And if you can't give financially, you still can support us. All right, share the links around. Let people know if they've got an online business that could benefit from advertising. You really just got to go to republicbroadcasting.org, call the station and let them know. All right, it's just that simple. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Right now, we are talking with Mike from Arizona. He had quite a list of reference documents and things, and he started off his list with manuals. Oh, all right, a lot of DOD manuals, things of that nature. And there's some value to this, to know what they're thinking or the way they're thinking. And I mentioned the FEMA manual on wood gasifiers way back in the day during the embargoes, and we really didn't know if we were going to have gasoline and diesel for our everything to work here in the United States. And they got real nervous, and FEMA printed a wood gasification manual that's got some fabulous calculations in there as far as sizing the size of your gasifier to the size of the motor that you need to drive. Absolutely good stuff, and it's free to download. All right, get this stuff onto thumb drives and external drives. Everything that you can download now, you should. All right, go to websites and find out all of the edible plants, all of the poisonous plants. Get their description and picture, copy and paste, and save on an external. The internet could be down, but you can really stockpile a ton of very useful information, maps. This, of course, assumes you've got to be able to power up a laptop to access this stuff. But powering up a laptop isn't so hard if you're actually prepared. Mike, let's get back. You had quite a list you were going through there when we got hit with the break, but why don't you go ahead and continue.
Yes, and like you say, there's a lot of this stuff. You may get a hard copy of a book like Seven Pillars of Wisdom, but if you go poking around on the internet, you can definitely find PDF copies of these. And exactly what you're saying, these publications that I'm trying to give out, it's number one, it's going to help the people have a better understanding of what throughout history, how resistance movements have developed and occurred and performed, but it also tells you what the enemy is thinking, and you can anticipate their moves before they do what they're most likely going to do.
Absolutely. They identify a way that people in the past have been able to muster support and communicate and become, hit that critical mass. You know, if they're writing about it now, you got to know they have a contingency for it in place. So, yeah, they said, oh, they got us here pretty good, but rest assured that if you were to look at an updated manual that the generals have access to, it includes updates to counter that stuff. So you're right. We got to take that, not so much with a grain of salt, but be a realist about it, in that that loophole, that thing that gave we the people revolutionary power, may not be available in the exact same pathway that they took then, but all useful information to note what had to happen for people to snap out of it. And we're there now, Mike. Doesn't it feel it to you that there's a herd of us out there that are wide awake as we talk these things through and have been for years, but there's other folks now being pinched hard enough that look at the mainstream media, and it is laughable. If it wasn't so tyrannical, it would be laughable. That it's amazing they can say what they do with a straight face, but now it's hitting your average person. They may not be able to connect all the dots that you and I have, but don't you feel that there's a restlessness, a revolutionary restlessness that's just at a rolling boil right now?
If it's not a rolling boil, it certainly is simmering right under the surface. As an example, it's the way that the media controls the narrative. Look back during the primary election, when they were doing exit polls, and it didn't matter if it was in Michigan or Montana or Texas or Florida or Massachusetts, the number one issue that people went to the polls for was because of the border. And because the border is such a fiasco, the Biden administration had to do their utmost to change the narrative and get it off of the border. Or, you know, just ask this question.
But what they are pushing now is abortion. They're all coercing abortion. But this is the dangerous thing, because the same ones that are just, I don't know, consumed with the abortion issue and killing babies are also the ones that gave you what we have in our public schools right now. They're very, very, very close together. So I think it's not only dangerous, just downright foolish for them to pick this. This is really their big campaign cry, is an attack on women. We've got to secure abortion in reverse row. So I think they're fighting a losing battle. I don't know about you.
Yeah, well, that's the whole question. When was the last time you heard the media talk about the border at all? When was the last time, remember, I don't know, a couple, 3 weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago, that ship went into that Francis Scott Key Bridge? When was the last time you heard anybody talking about the bridge? Nothing. All they want to do is talk about abortion.
Not far away, a couple days after that, there was like 20 barges, a couple dozen barges. All broke loose. I mean, there's weirdness happening in our ports. And ports are very funny regulated jurisdictions. There's a lot of international law mixed in here. There's things called inland ports that give your port authority jurisdiction and then perpendicular a buffer zone out 100 miles. So very odd regulatory environment around ports. But yeah, people should be keeping an eye on that. They should be reporting on that daily, because if you're going to see signs of a disruption in commerce, food supplies, fuel supplies, getting rid of waste, which is one of the things that was being done there, you know, if there's going to be trouble, that's one of the places you're going to see early signs of it. And a healthy press would be quick to report on that.
Yes. Well, that goes back to our JP 3-13 about your information influence operations. The media is getting the people away from what the people want to talk about, the border or issues like that, and they'll sit here and will be inundated with all these protests on the university campuses, but it's really the border. It's the issue. But I want to try and zoom through some of these other publications that people can access here. The Ugly American by William J. Lederer. and Eugene Burdick, Victory at Any Cost by Cecil Curry, A Fiasco by Thomas Ricks. And sometimes, you know, we look for publications and we want something that might be, you know, more up-to-date in the 2000s, but there's one, it's a classic. It's called Counterinsurgency Warfare, Theory and Practice by David Galula. I think he might have written that back in the 50s or the 60s, but it's still a classic study of unconventional warfare. Learning to Eat Soup with a Knife, Counterinsurgency Lessons from Malaya and Vietnam by Lieutenant Colonel John Nagel. In the Midst of War, an American's Mission to Southeast Asia by Edward Lansdale. There was a guy, his name was Sir Robert Thompson. He's got multiple writings and books. All In by General David Petraeus. My Share of the Task by General Stanley McChrystal. Guerrilla Warfare by Mao Zedong. FM 3-24.2, Tactics and Counterinsurgency. Modern Warfare by Roger Trinquier. Koran, Kalashnikov, and Laptop by Antonio Guistazi. FM 3-05.130, Army Special Forces Operations Unconventional Warfare. FM 3-05.201, Army Special Forces Unconventional Warfare Operations, Undergrounds and Insurgent Revolutionary and Resistance Warfare, as a group called Assessing Revolutionary and Insurgent Strategies, and that's abbreviated IRIS, Ares, and that's the Greek goddess of warfare. So if you go to Assessing Revolutionary Insurgent Strategies, and you can find some of these publications like the Undergrounds and Insurgent Revolutionary and Resistance Warfare. Let's see.
Well, ask you, because it sounds like you got quite a list there.
Yes.
Are there any that stick out in your mind that are specific to disease? Because in war conditions, you also get what's similar to, you know, the squalor that we're seeing in tent cities and stuff right now. But how disease can impact the war theater. And secondly, with insurgency into a nation like we're seeing right now at our border, we have cells developing around us, whether the press will say it, whether anyone in the corrupt occupying regime will say it, does not matter. These are our observations. All 50 states people can witness it around them. All right. So are there books specific to native populations dealing with disease in a war theater and insurgencies, early cell development?
Okay, we mentioned the one earlier, the Special Forces Medical Handbook. That's available online. Another publication is the Merck Manual, named after the medication company. They started back in the late 1800s and developed the Merck Manual. It all has to do with diseases and injuries and things. It not only helps you identify the signs and symptoms of it, plus also the care of that person and the treatment of that. There's
hazmat certified myself as a HAZWOPR responder, and we had several reference manuals. One in particular was like a spiral bound, very short, narrow book that had just about every chemical in it and what its properties were, you know, what to do if you're exposed to it, you know, whether to induce vomiting or not, and so on and so forth. Wash out your eyes with water or not, you know, all that stuff. And these are standard, you know, like text issue when you take the, if you were to sit to get certified in hazmat, these are the course materials. So they're readily available too. Those things that are poisonous and toxic to you are things that we need to be aware of. Whether it's a plant or a chemical, we need to know and have that as part of our intellectual preps.
Yes. Oh, and one other thing that comes to mind used to be a small book about the size of a paperback book, but it's grown, but it's called The Control of Communicable Diseases in Man. And it has nothing, everything to do with, you know, these are the signs and symptoms. Because, you know, if we encounter a patient that may be lethargic, they've got a fever, they just don't feel good, and, you know, that only covers about 10,000 different diseases. But then we're going to use a rule-out process that, well, do they have splotches of, you know, bumps, red bumps starting on their chest and moving out, or they have swollen glands. And where are those swollen glands? Are they in their submandibular lymph glands underneath their jaw, or like in something like the plague, where the bubonic plague that still exists here in the United States that could very well scatter, but then down in the groin on the left-hand side of your pubic region, you'll get what they call bubos. It's swollen like about the size of golf balls, and those are classic signs and symptoms of coming down with the plague. Or you got something else, again, with, you know, a low-grade fever, lethargic, maybe semi-comatose, something like that. And, you know, it could be something simple as just, you know, I got a cold, I got the flu, or something like that. But it could be something very serious like bacterial meningitis or viral meningitis. And those are very...
We're a very susceptible population here because we have not seen hard times like that or anything near it since the Depression. And even then, that was kind of a minor taste of how bad it could be. But, you know, I ask people to visualize what your community would look like. And I guess in the more in the country you get, the less obvious it is right away. But if you get into a suburban area or an urban area, absolutely slaps you in the face pretty quick. But imagine for a moment that things are disrupted, whatever that reason is. You're able to sustain yourself. You've got food. Do you have any idea if they stop regular public services like picking up your trash? All right, if people are no longer have money, banks are closed, you don't have a $5 bill to give to the trash man. All right, they're going to stop picking up your trash. And then what? How much garbage? I've got a mix of two things. I'm out in the country here where I could deal with it pretty quickly out in the middle of nowhere and not have a problem, not have a health crisis. Back in Massachusetts, the living situation is different, where I am surrounded by two-story and three-story tenement housing. And the trash would be monumental over in a six-month period. Can you, what would be the pile of trash in front of everyone who's listening to me? How big would the pile of trash be in front of your house right now if every week, every couple of days, you bring a bag out and throw it there? And add to it now that the rodent population will utterly explode. Utterly explode. Now, the opportunity to get a really nasty infection, disease, a foodborne disease, anything, get bitten by a rat, health during a crisis, people don't think about the waste. It would be a mountain of waste around us at 6 months. If you haven't thought about that yet, I mean, these are some of the discussions. If you're in urban areas and you do have a neighborhood watch, a group of you working together, don't negate to talk about trash. Sounds stupid, but it literally couldn't. And this is one of those things where it doesn't just, when it happens, it doesn't take out just one unfortunate person. It becomes an environment that could get many people sick. So I think that's underestimated. What do you think?
Yeah, it'll spread like fire. Yeah, well, you know, we don't have to have a theoretical about what happens somewhere down the road. This has happened many times here in the United States. It seems to be there were sanitation workers that went on strike in New York, and within days there were these giant mounds of trash out front, and the rats were just running wild. And, you know, we spoke earlier about the bubonic plague. and that's, you know, it's spread by the fleas that are on the rats, and it'll definitely spread. One of the things that we want to make sure of, and I know nowadays that one of the things, it's a fashionable deal of to have, you know, I don't want to say long hair, but not closely cropped like a military crew cut type of a deal. And everybody seems to want to have a beard. But long hair and beards are notorious for trapping and carrying viruses and bacteria. So I would highly recommend all our listeners, if you've got a beard, it might be time to shave it off. And especially that ties in with the use of a protective mask, because if you got a protective mask and a beard, you're not going to get a seal. And so you're going to have to have razor blades and scissors on.
When I was getting certified in hazmat, that's one of the things they made clear, is that you really, if you, this was your career and you were exposing yourself in these environments on a regular basis, that you really got to stay clean shaven all the time. Scuba divers too, they run into that same problem. If you are in a situation where you've got to, I don't know, recover a boat prop or something, you need masks and things like that that fit properly. Well, I mean, this is a thing where you got to apply to the situation. If you're in a zone where it's possible that they're going to be gassing you, they're going to be dropping gas, you've got to think about that. Get shaved up. On the other hand, where I am here now in New Hampshire, I do appreciate the space full of hair that I got in the winter. And if I were outside and in the elements and didn't have a choice, and I had to just hunker down and stay warm, you know, having a little hair on your face counts. But I think you got to apply it to the situation, because everything you said about a properly fitted mask is correct. And don't think that those dust masks either. I see a lot of confusion about these. Is a dust mask is just going to keep sawdust from going in. You got to get the right chemical cartridges for the situation. If it's a biological, you got to have the right cartridge on these masks. People don't realize that all those cartridges are interchangeable and specific to the thing that you're trying to filter.
Yeah, there's a lot of different agents. And, you know, we're talking about shaving and stuff, that oftentimes we have to pay attention to the conditions. Now, in order to have a good, I mean, people ask me, well, when's the last time you had a chemical attack in the United States? And it's like, well, every time a police officer pepper sprays somebody, and that would be considered a chemical attack. But, you know, if we're talking about a big attack like it happened at Waco, Texas, that it's going to cost close to maybe $250,000. But you have to have the conditions that have to be right. If it's real hot and dry like it is in the Southwest, and the ground is fairly level, it's almost impossible to have a very effective chemical attack. But then if you get into places where there's forest and rolling hills and a lot of moisture, humidity is real high, that somebody could spread an agent, and it may sit dormant on the leaves down in the shadows amongst the trees. And then when the sun comes up, because of the heat starts getting higher, then those agents are going to effervesce and start affecting you in there. And then as it cools off in the evening, the agent will settle back onto those leaves and set dormant until the next day. So you could actually have one application of chemicals, but you could have the residual effects of having a chemical attack over and over and over again for a whole week. I don't want to hog up our...
Yeah, I got one more caller on, so we got to wrap up here. But,
okay.
When it comes to exposure to chemicals, one, focus on what it is that you're looking to filter out and have the right cartridge for it. Two, remember, you can be dosed through your skin. You can breathe through a mask and be okay, but if you're sweaty and you're covered in this stuff, it can absorb through your skin. And the three different ways that it gets into your body, either breathed in, absorbed through your skin, or injected through a cut or a prick, all have a very different effect on what it does to you. In one case, it might be benign. In another case, it might kill you flat out dead. So there's a lot to be involved there. So just be careful not to do anything and have a false sense of security. Understand the type of filters that you're getting. Does that sound like sound parting advice?
Very much so. You need to match it up with the type of agent that you anticipate. If I may have like 1 minute in closing.
Real quick.
It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. Thank you, Dave. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your broadcast. Thank you.
Excellent. Thanks for the call. Mike from Arizona. Yeah, good list, man. You're going to have to go back. I started to write some of these down. There's too many of them. So folks are going to have to go back and listen, jot a few of those down. It's having resource material. And what I like, too, is I don't just take it and tuck it away. I kind of thumb through it periodically. You get a rain day, or if you've got an hour you're not doing nothing, I grab you and just kind of refresh my memory or reference and read something that I haven't read yet. But don't underestimate the need for knowledge, all right? Because these are all things that will relieve panic, too. Like I said, you can have all the coolest of stuff, but if you lose your crap and you get panicky, all that stuff, you know, someone else is going to come along and take your stuff. All right. So don't panic. And all of this stuff that you do in preparation for yourself and your family are going to relieve some of that stress and that panic. Believe me, it'll never totally go away. There's a healthy amount of fear to have here. And I don't mean in an incapacitating way. I mean in with respect to not just sashaying your ass through life thinking everything is fine, because it is not. It is not. And there's one thing that's been made crystal clear to each and every one of us. Government doesn't love you, and they're not helping. I mean, they're saying they are. That's the story. That's the mantra that the prostitutes and political whores repeated great infinitum. All right? Look at all the jobs we created. Like I said, contact tracers, 87,000 IRS agents telling people, after first telling them you've got to close your businesses and shut down, and then when they say, okay, we anoint you, you may open again, and when they go back and open, they call that job creation. And the American suckers believe it. Oh, yeah, thanks, Joe Biden. Man, how'd you find time to fix our economy in between sniffing all those kids? Man, how did you do it? Guy was lost again this week. Unbelievable. We got a quick break, and then we're coming back with another caller. Stay with us. It's Red Pill Politics, and you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be right back after these messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Participate at a much more meaningful level if you'd really like to. I know you love listening to us live here at RBN, but for those who want to jump in and play around in text chat, maybe even share some resources and ideas of your own, you can do that two ways. redpillpolitics.chattango.com, and you can also check our live stream on Rumble. We'd love to have you subscribed over there too. All right, give us a thumbs up, maybe a little comment down in the comment section, and again, share the love, man. If you've got some resources and things that are related to the topic here today, other show ideas, comments, and hate mail, jump right in. All right, get involved. We try to put out a live stream for every show. Last week being one of the very few exceptions, I had a bit of a technology meltdown. But if you read my show description, you would have said, damn, Dave was right on the money here. He put some backup links for me to go. So, yeah, the only people that didn't go over to RBN and listen on the one-click player that even progressives can listen to, all right, and those people didn't miss nothing, all right? But tune in, get involved, get subscribed over at redpillpolitics.tv as well so I can let you know about my other snarky musings and goings-on. So, seems like my next caller here calls in at right the right time. I don't know if you noticed the bumper music there as we were coming in. But let's go to Mike from Kentucky right now. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Oh, 6 long years I've been in trouble. No peace on earth.
It's like...
I don't know. That's the next verse. You stopped it short. I was going to get my harmonica out and play along. So I kind of was hoping you'd keep that other guy on to chatter on about that stuff. But, yeah, when he got into that list, I felt like I was in church or something that got hypnotized by the sing-songy rhythm of it all. I couldn't, after about 20 or 30 seconds of reading that list, I was, like, zoning out. I couldn't keep up.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to apply to everybody, but like I said, you know, pick out some of these topics, and many of the manuals are free downloads. It's crazy not to have them on a thumb drive or an external, and, you know, it's there. You know it's there, you know, and reference it when you need or want to. But I do believe the library of reference material is part of good preps. You know, it's not just having a Bowie knife and a, you know, full bug out bag. It's, you know, you got to have intellectual tools as well.
Well, and there's a lot of tech refuseniks on this network, and I certainly can understand that. But if you got an old, I don't know, XP or Vista or 8.1 computer with a thumb drive on there, that could be a little fundraiser for RBN to offer, you know, send in $5 or $10, and here's a collection of public domain, whatever, pertinent survival manuals or that sort of stuff, and you don't have to have the internet.
I've seen that. People wrote up a thumb drive. I've seen these on eBay before, people selling information one-stop shopping for, you know, all kinds of things. And they did, what does it cost, $6-$7 for a thumb drive, and you just load it up with PDFs?
Well, depending on how big the capacity is. But, yeah, I mean, anybody for RBN could do that for just a little bit of time, have 50 of them. Drag and drop, it'd take, probably take you a couple of days, drag and drop all the stuff onto thumb drives. You buy them in bulk and do it as a fundraiser for RBN or for your own show. There used to be somebody that did that. I can't remember who it was that did that. You know, the maybe it was that gardening show that was on Saturday that would that was doing that. Tim and whoever, the Spencers, I think they were doing that a couple of years ago. You could order up a thumb drive from for them for like $10 or something. Supported their show and their efforts, you know, and had gardening manuals and you know, that way it was collection of stuff of interest for people that listen to this type of network, and it didn't have to be online. You could have a what I've heard called an air-gapped computer where you could read stuff like that. And, you know, maybe you can imply that there might be some stuff on there that the FBI wouldn't want you to look up or download on the Internet. I know a guy, who probably 15, maybe, I don't know, I have to calculate it back. It's 2024. It might have been almost 20 years ago. He downloaded the Anarchist Cookbook. And the FBI office from Louisville called him up. At the time, he was living over in Johnson County, I think. Maybe not. Maybe it was closer to Louisville. The FBI called him up and said, sir, do you have anything to declare? We noticed you downloaded the Anarchist Cookbook. And he said, well, I like turtles, and hung up. Less than about an hour and 40 minutes, a couple of them black, you know, SUVs was parked at his door, knocking on the door. And
imagine.
Yeah. He told him, look, I just downloaded this. It was there on the Internet. And so there's fly traps all over the Internet looking for ways to
type a document.
People.
That's really a type of document that, I mean, separate of a lot of the other stuff we were talking about, plant identification and, you know, just general knowledge type of things. Something like that really only got one application. And I certainly see where that would send up alarms. But with that being said, if the FBI is watching and monitoring and planting, plants out there for us to jump onto, well-baited hooks.
Traps.
But what are they doing now? When you look at information and what is considered dangerous information,
right.
This almost everything we can't talk about. I mean, the floodgates are still open about COVID. The medical research is now coming in from all over the world. People are studying large numbers of samples and coming out with data that just, these people are criminals. I mean, life and type of criminal evidence is being floated out there. And this is the type of thing that'll get you a call from the feds if you share too much of that.
They tried, and it stinks. They tried to shut down research on ivermectin. The river blindness program in Africa would have been an immediate indicator of how ivermectin affected COVID across Africa. There's two elder care homes in Colombia, and initially they called it serendipity. I think there was two in France or Belgium and France, where a stress pet that was being passed around gave, and for some reason I cannot remember the name of the parasite. It's not scabies, but the stress pet gave.
It works on that too.
What?
It works on that as well.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. These people in this nursing home with an average age of 90 all got a parasite from this pet was being passed around, so they were all being given ivermectin for weeks before COVID hit. When COVID hit,
that was scabies, by the way. That's what it was, scabies. That all was right. What...
Anyway, it's called serendipity. This type of thing happens in science. Yeah. And instead of having a 70% fatality rate, they only had one person die in two nursing homes that were being, by serendipity, treated with ivermectin for scabies. When the COVID hit, nobody died. And you know what? It didn't matter all the medications they were on. In northern Italy, most of the people that died were all these people with these chronic illnesses that were on ACE inhibitors, angiotensin blockers, statin drugs, and they'd had the flu shot. Boom, they're dead. Right? That medication creates these inflammatory situations that made it worse.
That was a perfect natural scientific sample there, because scabies is super contagious, so they isolated all of those people on a completely different floor. They were not intermingling with the general population. They were put up on a separate floor, but on ivermectin. So they had a sample numbers right there of how many were affected that were taking the drug versus most of them dying downstairs.
Well, Twitter, Facebook, and some of the social media and media in general got caught in a crack because they had these studies. And all of a sudden, the United Nations data on their river blindness program in Africa, all their data went down for maintenance. Wasn't that really stank like a rotten fish? And then now we've got several studies in 2024 confirming earlier studies pre-COVID that ivermectin is very effective in at least four different types of cancer. And then two more studies out of Colombia that shows that scabies, or that ivermectin seriously reduced nursing home deaths.
Now, you know what would be interesting is to go back, in line with what we were just talking about, find out how many people actually downloaded the original UN data before it came down for maintenance.
Maintenance. Yeah. There's one other thing.
How many are going to get calls from the feds now?
I don't care. At this point, there's fates worse than death at this point. Because what are you leaving for your grandchildren? A wise man provides for his grandchildren. What kind of world are you leaving for your grandchildren? There's fates worse than death to see your children and grandchildren being enslaved to this technocracy. I mean, come on, people. Get off your ass.
Free.
So I've been at it for 20-some years trying to raise alarm bells. In 2008 or 9, before I joined Facebook, I ran across this manual, because that guy was talking about manuals. That's why I called the Joint Special Operations University Manual for Blogs and Information Warfare. Was written, I think, in 2004 or 2006. There was a web page that posted it. And I don't know if it was on Republic Broadcasting or where I found somebody alerted to it. It was in this obscure subpage of a webpage called Feminist Faust. The blog was Ah Mephistopheles. It had screenshots of the cover there and select quotes out of that Blogs and Information Warfare manual. And it was, the Joint Special Operations University was mainly directing that toward foreign information warfare, because at the time, I think it was might have been still illegal for them to do domestic influence operations. Now they've got plenty of partners like Israel and MI6 to do these domestic misinformation and discrediting operations. So that's what it talked about, altering, hacking and altering web pages and blogs, changing the spelling of words, to try to discredit a blogger with their audience. We know about all the dirty tricks that Facebook and Twitter, YouTube and Google, after Zach Voorhees came out with
all the dirty tricks. I think a few of them have come out. I think there's multiples of ways, because that's typically the way they operate, is they look for all weaknesses and bottlenecks and try to have a collective effect. And rather than bringing too much attention to any one thing, a great big wet blanket that comes down, in a very systemic way across the entire system out there. I got one more thing calling, Mike. You got any parting thoughts?
I just can say that's one to look for, is the Joint Special Operations University blog and information warfare. The article was what some bloggers suspect others knew all along, and people came off as paranoid and tinfoil hat, but they've been doing this stuff since the early days of the Internet.
Yeah.
All the stuff you thought was bad tricks on Facebook and downranking on Google search engines, it's been going on for a long time. Lawsuits got scuttled, and you never heard what happened. Anyway, talk to you later.
All right, thanks for the call, Mike. Mike from Kentucky. The government and everybody involved there, big, huge corporations, the deep state, the globalists and the bankers, they had some foresight, knew what the Internet was going to turn into and how readily accessible it was. I mean, it's amazing. I sit back and I remember my first computer was a friggin' boat anchor. It was huge. I think it had a 2 megabyte hard drive. Oh, I thought I was something. Well, now, you know, everybody's, their little cell phones, my God, how much they can put, and they can put more in your cell phone than they could in my first computer. And it knows everything. They can measure everything. And if they begin turning off your access to whatever you need through the use of these things, we need to abandon them. We really do. I don't know. I've got one more caller. I've got a couple minutes here for you. Who we got here? Tom from Utah. How are you today, Tom?
Hi, Dave. I didn't hear. Can you hear me?
I hear you loud and clear. We only got about 4 minutes here, but what you got on your mind?
One of the great impediments to survival, of course, is disease. And I was an advisor to the Air Force and preparing pilots to go, to Iraq, Kuwait. And of course, one of the most important things that is required to be successful is to not be ill. And while you're looking for the Merck manual, which I worked out of for 3 decades, Berge's bacteriology along with Field's virology, those were my Bible. I think Paul the Apostle got it really simplified, and it all fits with what I know from the laboratory, and that is you can't transmit or pass or vector an infectious agent without meeting the qualifications of pathogenesis. What is that? Fat/plasma into directly fat/plasma. I could never culture an infectious agent in a petri dish filled with potatoes, carrots, apples, lettuce, or anything, a spinach. And I've had to turn cases over in the courtroom undoing that crap where they, got you to believe that E. coli was transmitted by spinach or sprout. But the fact is, and like I say, Paul has it figured out very simply. While you're looking for your Merck manual, you can just simply turn to Colossians 2:19. And he says, as to those things offered to idols, touch not, taste not, handle not, lest in the using we all perish. Really curious, it is those things offered to idols that are the only vector for infectious diseases. Air, sunlight, cosmic energy, even salt on your skin, acids from your sweat glands, saliva, are all deleterious to the infectious particles. They always have to be packaged within a fomite.
Assuming the host is healthy. But we can't claim to be entirely healthy. Humans are omnivores. They eat both meat and vegetables, and it's required for all those systems to work properly, for your digestion to work properly. And, when infectious diseases, we're exposed to them all the time. And it's a matter of how healthy we are has an awful lot to do with it. is not always the end all be all, but how healthy and resistant you are to these things, you know, they're as dangerous as they ever are or ever will be. It's a matter of how susceptible we are to becoming sick from them. I'm quite concerned, like I said, over the waste situation. You know, we talked about how much waste and trash can build up, and that's an immediate magnet to other animals, rats and rodents like that, that just further spread disease from wherever the garbage heap is out in underneath people's decks and in their food pantries. These are the same rats and mice that are eating out of your grain sacks, that are out feasting on a baby diaper that's been out in the sun for 6 weeks. So I'm really concerned about the waste situation. I often talk to preppers, especially those in suburban and urban areas, and they're not even thinking about this.
Well, the number one enemy to any pathogen is oxygen. Where is oxygen?
Oxygen and
everywhere.
Sunlight.
Oxygen and sunlight. So you don't get a disease from a surface or aerosol contact. You have to infuse it.
You have
to bring it in, and you have to bring it in the same package it survives in: fat, flesh, plasma, or blood. And that's where Paul has got it figured out. Touch not, taste not, handle not. You can be standing next to a pile of dead flesh, but if you don't infuse that or ingest it, you don't have any worry. And I can tell you that from my 30 years on the other side of the pathology lab, but the last 30 years, I've never had to suffer anything.
If you're bitten,
never had to suffer.
Ingest that, then you got problems. hey, Tom, gotta wrap up the show. I really appreciate your input on that. Point taken. Thank you very much for the call, and have a good day there in Utah. And the rest of you folks, I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you gave us a thumbs up if you're watching on Rumble. I hope you go over, make sure you got republicbroadcasting.org saved in your favorites. All right, support the host over there as well. And yeah, share it around. Show ideas, comments, and hate mail. Head on over to redpillpolitics.tv and send them along. Get on the mailing list and keep up to date with what we got going on. I hope things came through loud and clear, a little better quality this week. Did a little work on the audio on my end after having a sound card go down, but I made a few other adjustments. Hopefully things went well and everyone was able to hear us fine. And I was able to hear it. That was my biggest hurdle. It's, like I said, I wish when something breaks down, it would just break down totally. Here I added a sound card that was only partially broken down, so I was getting good signals in the mic, but I could not hear for beans. But we're by that. Moving on. And I'm never going to leave you guys high and dry. If you're those that like watching the video, if it's not up, it's Sunday, right on time, head over to republicbroadcasting.org. They got a live player right there. That's what it is labeled in my description for. And support where you can, all right? The IRS and FISA, AI, and the snooping around in every network, there's no place that you can go now unless you just live in the woods and you come down every 6 months for supplies and leave your phone home. They're watching and listening to everything. I don't know, folks. Stay well. Fly your flags high. Keep your powder dry. Love each other out there.
to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you